So good to be in the presence of God, isn't it? It's good and refreshing, and we want to make sure that we give room. I mean, God has just been sharing with me lately, just kind of allowing me to understand that we need to give Him some space. You know what I mean? That we need to give Holy Spirit some space. And I think that's so vital for us, just to like I think we're as Americans, we're just programmed to keep going, you know, to keep on task, to make sure that we get it done, make sure that we do something that is that we're supposed to be doing. And God's just been sharing with me that it's okay to give Him space to move, in spite of the clock, in spite of the program, and I want to make sure that we are allowing ourselves to do that as well. I want you to be able to do that as well. Like, we come together to experience God, we come together to learn, we come together to edify one another, and to glorify God and to worship. And so I want to make sure that we give room for God in everything that we do and say. And so with this today, the thought that was coming to mind this Sunday, or for this sermon this morning, was thinking about marriage. And as we think of what is coming up on Tuesday, guys, reminder, as Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's always a fun one that if you're in a relationship, if you're married, if you have a girlfriend, if you're engaged, whatever, that's just one of those celebrations of love, celebrations of the relationship. And I love to celebrate marriage. I do. As we think of, as we look at God's word today, marriage is in it. Marriage is ordained by God. Marriage is given by God, and it's just it's a beautiful thing. I love being married. I think it's a great, fantastic thing. It's a challenge. It's difficult. It's happy. It's sad. It's everything in between. But we know it's from God, and God ordained it. And it's fun, as even as I go with Jacob and Jordan here, I'm gonna mess with you guys today, I'm sure. They're engaged. They're gonna be married in a couple weeks, and I'm doing some premarital counseling with them. So yeah, you can give them a hand, sure, yeah. As we're talking about what marriage is and what to expect and all that fun stuff, they're gonna be hearing a lot of the repeats today that I've been telling them. But I think as we think about this, I was looking at this. There's a great quote by Martin Luther. I wanted to share it with you. And if I just say this today, and if you wrote this down or whatever, take a picture with your cell phone, I could literally walk off the stage and this would speak for itself. This is Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr. This is Martin Luther, the founder, if you will, of the Lutheran of Lutheranism. He says, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." I mean, that's deep. That's deep, right? I mean, that's some wisdom right there. Think about it. I mean, maybe I can unpack this one a little bit. Maybe I can unpack this a little bit. Guys, have you ever not wanted to go home because your wife is there and she may be in a mood, or you know she's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do? Guys, you're like, "Oh, I'm just going to stay at work for a little longer because I know that it may be that time of the month or something." I mean, what, yeah, guys, come on, let's be honest. Yeah, wow, all the ladies like, wow. Yeah, right, you don't answer that one. Ladies, are you ever eager for your husband to leave the house? Because he's annoying you? Can you just go already? Can you just, I mean, man, like, ladies, can you identify with that a little bit? Like, "I just wish you'd leave already. He's so obnoxious right now." I hear it, yeah. You know, we've all been there, right? Husbands, wives, we've all been there. I mean, Martin Luther had something to this quote, and I love it. "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." You see, too many couples today, I mean, in our society, they scarcely relate to each other. The marriage is one of those things that's so foreign. Years and years of marriage go by, and we end up like having this hybrid of who knows what, and called a marriage. And so today, if you're single in here today, this is for you. Because it's okay to be single. It's okay to be single. This isn't something that you're incomplete. I wanted to share that first and foremost. You're not incomplete if you're single. But I wanted to share with you, if you're married in here today, this is one of those passages of scriptures that it can kind of like ruffle some feathers a little bit. But I want to read out of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and this is a classic passage really about husbands and wives and how we are to act toward one another. You know, you ever said this, I know I've said this dozens of times, like, do they ever give like a parenting handbook? Like they just, when you have a baby, they don't like give you a book and say, here's how to be a good parent. I don't think they do that. The same is true with marriage, in a way. They don't be like, okay, you're married, the pastor gives you a book and says, here you go, here's how to be married. But I would disagree, because God's word, the Bible, is the handbook for us when it comes to marriage, when it comes to life, of course. But I'm so grateful that when God has given us something such as marriage, such a beautiful thing, he doesn't just go ahead and say, okay, there you go, be married and live well. He gives us a passage of scripture, multiple passages that share and teach us how to be good husbands and wives. So I'm going to pick it up at verse, I'll pick it up at verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Verse 28, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it just as Christ does the church. And so as we see this passage of scripture, when we read that sometimes, there's a lot to discover in this passage. This word submit, number one, it just jumps off the page, right? The word submit is one of those words where I believe the world at times has taken that and that word and just destroyed this word. It's like the word submission has so many things that so many negative connotations, if you will. The word submit, it seemed that there was something in society that says it's so wrong. Abuse, yes, of course, that's probably one of them. This word submission sometimes goes hand in hand with abuse, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. It's not talking about abuse in this passage of scripture. Submission is simply just that understanding of each other's roles. Understanding the love, the concern, the care, the submission is not a negative thing. It's an honorable thing. Submission isn't a negative, abusive word. It's an honorable word. It's a respectful word. It's a word that is to be in high regard. Submitting to one another is the key. And so I've got about there's four different models, if you will, that I wanted to share with you out of Ephesians chapter 5 today. There's four different models of marriages that I just want to highlight today. And so as we think about this this topic this morning, again, if you're not married, this is something good for you to grab a hold of. If you're engaged, if you're to be married, I know we got a handful of you in the room, this is something you should be taking notes. If you've been married forever, if you've been married for a long time, this is something that you need to take and look at and say, okay, where are we at? What are we doing? What kind of marriage model do we have? So number one, the love and submit marriage. This is your Ephesians 5 marriage, the love and submit marriage. The love and submit marriage. This is where it's men must love their wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. How did Jesus love the church? He gave his life for us. That's pretty big love, isn't it? And so men, guys, husbands, we are compared your love for your wife today. Now grab a hold of this, because this is heavy. Your love for your wife is compared to Jesus being crucified on the cross. Let that one sink in. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we had to let that one sink in. See, the cross of Christ, I mean, capital punishment. If we put it in our term, it's like the electric chair, lethal injection, substituting your life for someone else's. It's the idea that you are guilty of nothing, and yet you're put to death for someone else. That's the kind of love that you should be having for your wife. You see, when it's put that way, it's like, oh man, strike out, completely bombed that one. See, there's times in my life, am I thinking to myself, wow, do I go to the cross for my wife? Do I love her so much that I give that much love? I give myself up for her. I mean, verse 29, I just read, after all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds it, he cares for it, just as Christ did the church. You see, that kind of love is the kind of love, men, that we need to be loving our wives with. And so we have the love and submit marriage. Men, you must love your wives, but wives, you must submit to your husbands as a service to the Lord. And all this is saying is simply saying, yes, there's a hierarchy in marriage, that men is the head of the house, men is the as Jesus was the head of the is the head of the church, and women, we're just to take that submissive role. You're just to take that submissive role and say, I submit to you and to your authority. It's not saying that you're to be a doormat. It's not saying that you to be a subservient slave in any way, but you're simply saying, I submit to you. And so that word, I love to look at that word submit as like a respect. That's a better word that I like. It's a respect. There's that love when men love and give that unsacrificial or that sacrificial love to their wives, that there's that respect that wives need to have for their husbands. You see, the best marriage, where the greatest fruit takes place of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's where love and submission, love and respect are maximized in the marriage. It's a two-way street. It's a love and a respect. And so when we think of this respect type of word, this thing that men, we just desire for some reason. We desire respect. I don't care if you're 10 years old. I don't care if you're 100 years old. God has created us to need to be respected. And the first place that needs to be respected is in our house, our homes. And so as women, as wives, your role, it's simple. It's in Scripture. Your role is just to respect your husband. Now, we can unpack that for a long time, and that's another marriage seminar. But what does that mean? So we understand, men, what love is and how we can be a practical person of love to our wives. We can unpack that for hours. But ladies, what does it mean and what does it look like to submitfully respect our husbands for who they are? And so once that is figured out, it's easier said than done, let's just face it. But it's possible. It's doable. It's that love and respect. It's the mutual edification. It's doing things the biblical way. What I love about this is that some dude, with a doctorate somewhere, just didn't make this up. This is God's word, and it's a beautiful thing. So the love and submit marriage. Another one is number two is I think it's the worst type of marriage. It's the hate and resist marriage. The hate and resist, right? That's just the opposite. The hate and resist marriage, where the wife nags her man. She contends with her husband's authority. She gives him no respect. She's always trying to just take the wear the pants in the family. You've heard those terms before. Always trying to just to strip the authority away. Strip that respect. 100% disrespectful. Thinks that he's an absolute loser. Can't stand the guy. You're good for nothing. Her disrespect for him is it displays itself in social functions. It's all over the place. I mean, have you ever, sarcastic remarks, right? Like, oh yeah, you're a real winner. You know, a wife that just shows zero respect. Or always is just tearing up the husband in private and in public. Like, yeah, you should see him. He's the biggest loser. He's this, he's that. That's there's resistance there. And then there's disrespect from the husband. There's no love there. There's no honor, and there's no selfless love that comes from the husband. You see, it's the hate and resist. You get it. A third style, if you will, of a marriage is the hate and submit. The hate and submit marriage. This is the type of marriage where the wife does her part to submit and respect the husband, but yet the husband takes advantage of this and abusively, in a way, refuses to show her love. You see, that's the hate and submit, where one partner's doing it God's way, the other is abusing that and taking advantage. You see, this hate and submit marriage. Husbands, you need to remember what Paul wrote in this type of marriage. In the same way, this is Ephesians 5, 28 through 29. In the same way, husbands ought to love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And so, guys, I've said this 100 times before, we're the most selfish people on the planet. We're selfish. We like what we like. We like our stuff. We like to do what we want to do. Our time, our money, everything is towards self. We are so selfish. And I love how Paul puts this. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as you'd love yourself, your own body. And so the hate and submit marriage, you got to be careful of that one. And then the fourth is the love and resist. You kind of following the pattern here. The love and resist. Unfortunately, more and more households are seeing this type. I'm telling you, we see this in Hollywood a lot. This is the type of marriage model that we see in Hollywood or on TV. They're this like abusive, this verbally abusive wife with this loving husband. It's the husband who is a loving, the loving partner and doing his role, but there's the wife that is just destroying him and not submitting, not respecting, but showing everything but respect. We see this a lot of times, and like I said, you see the feminist movement has fueled this to where you say, no way, I'm my own person, I'm my own woman. No man's gonna tell me what to do. That's the love and resist marriage. We've pictured this marriage is pictured in TV as this wimpy husband, right? The wimpy husband with all but good intentions and love for his wife, and then this powerful wife that just completely overtakes. And so, as we see these four different models, if you will, of marriage. Now, again, this is an end all, but the kind of looking at number one, the love and submit marriage. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's to making sure that we are doing everything, that you're doing your role, wife, that you're doing your role, husband, and that it works. It works. The best marriage is where there's the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. See, today I know there's a handful of married individuals in here today. Some today are with your spouse. Others couldn't be here for various amounts of reasons. But today I want us to take some time. I want us to think about maybe where you are at in this list. You know, One thing that I would say is that marriage is hard, yes. Marriage is tough. It's tough. Rachel and I have been married for almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years in June. And one of the things I know that we have been taught, my folks actually are here today. They surprised us this morning. And one of the things that my folks has taught us is not that they have the most amazing marriage on the planet, but guess what? Ever since I could remember, mom and dad worked hard at their marriage. They worked hard at it because it takes work. If you've been married for more than 10 years, you understand that it takes hard work to make it last. And so what I'm thankful for my mom and dad about is that they showed us that it's a matter of putting the effort in, making sure you're educating yourself, being sure and confident that understanding that marriage just doesn't happen, good marriages just doesn't happen by itself. And so Rachel and I have always believed in that and always made time for each other, making sure that when we feel a distance between us, we're saying, well, let's work. We got to do some work. We need some work. There's nothing wrong with that. And so today I want us to take a moment. I want us to take a moment and discern what Holy Spirit is saying. What is Holy Spirit saying to you today? Maybe you are struggling in your marriage, and maybe you can kind of pick out one of these 1 through 4, and you know, I maybe there's just a kind of a weird conglomeration of those, but there's no way that we can talk about this topic within a 20-minute sermon and give it justice. But I want Holy Spirit to speak. Maybe you're in here sitting next to your spouse, and if so, I want you to do something that may even be uncomfortable for you, and I pray that it's not, but if you're sitting next to your spouse, we just grab their hand. If you're sitting next to your spouse this morning, we just grab their hand. I want you to know, and I want you to realize that something that's ordained by God, something that's created by God, Satan wants to tear apart. Am I right? I mean, you name it. Whether it's marriage, whether it's family, something that's ordained by God, Satan wants to tear apart. And so today I want to do our part in battling against Satan. Because I don't want Satan to have rule and reign in our marriages anymore. And I want to be sure that we jump in the battle and we fight for our marriages. So wherever you're at, maybe you're at one end of the other, maybe your marriage is fantastic, maybe your marriage is doing really, really well, or maybe it's way on the other side where it's that, boy, we're like number 4 right there. If there were a 5, that'd be us. See, I would encourage you to let Holy Spirit speak to you, coming together as one in your marriage today. So let's just take this moment. I just want to give this moment to discern. Let's listen, not just to me. Let's listen to Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Holy Spirit can do such a way better job than I can. So maybe Holy Spirit is speaking to you, husband, that you need to love your wife a little bit more. Maybe Holy Spirit speaking to you, husband, that there's something that you need to do or that you need to stop doing in order to love your wife a little more. And wife, maybe you're in here today and you're listening, you're hearing Holy Spirit say, I need to respect my husband a little bit more. I need to stop bullying. I need to stop taking over. I need to stop trying to run him and tell him what to do. See, maybe Holy Spirit is speaking in this moment. So let me just stop talking and let's listen. Let's listen. If you feel led, if you feel comfortable, just come together today as a married couple. Come together and talk. Talk about it. Share with each other what Holy Spirit is saying to you during this moment right now. Let's listen. Let's listen.